Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. To be in touch with the show, use your texting device. Joining us now on the line as we do this about this time every week, wrap up the week, our good friend and returning champion of the Jeff Porch Show, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just finished up the Veterans Day parade here in downtown Mobile with our good friend Pete Ream. He does a great job putting that together every year. And, proud to participate.
Well, it's good to hear. Check in on Pete from time to time. Let's kick it off here. Yesterday, I was at the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Club in West Highland, and so we're talking about, and he made this point, both during the speech and kind of afterwards, this ballot harvesting bill initially put out there last year, but for whatever reason did not make it to the floor in the Senate. And just right now, how important it's going to be to have some provisions in place, given the new second congressional district and the potential there, I think, you know, for the ballot harvesting to come into play, because you'll have a very competitive election and everybody's looking to get some kind of advantage. But if you want to do this done, you got to be in accordance with federal law, and you have to have a certain time period before you can enact a new law that deals with elections. Like, I think the drop dead day would be May or something. How important is it to get this to the governor's desk?
Well, it's very important. We should have done it last year and we didn't. It was frustrating for a number of our members that bill didn't get through. I mean, look, ballot harvesting is real in Alabama. It is something we absolutely need to pass. When I was a young Republican, the chairman of the Mobile County Party at the time, Terry Latham, dispatched us to the northern regions of the 1st Congressional District to do some poll watching work. And some of the things I saw in those areas really, you know, solidified in my mind that the way Democrats run things in Alabama is indicative of some of the horror stories you hear. And it's, you know, it is absolutely important to me, and I think important to make sure that we protect the integrity of our elections, that we pass this bill, and that we get it done soon in the session. I think we can make the May deadline, of course. The session will be February, March, April. We need to make sure that the effective date of the bill is immediately, and that it gets done and signed by the governor. I think leadership has come around. You know, they try to play a game all the time with the minorities about how many of these bills the majorities object to are we going to pass. And last year that just got caught up in that negotiation. And I think this year is the year for it. I think it's on the priority of members and leadership, and I expect it to pass early in the session.
Well, and you know, getting it done, and essentially kind of explain this, the way that works. Like, the House got it, it got to the floor, and then it just never got any movement. And the wheeling and dealing that has to go on, because the Democrats have certain powers that they can really slow things down, right?
Well, they do, and those are powers that any senator has, and it's important to note that they wield them more often than we do, mainly because we're in the majority and we're usually setting the agenda. But every senator has the right to really gum things up and slow things down when they object to things. And, you know, we see that on the national level with Senator Tuberville and his holds right now. Well, that's true in the Alabama Senate as well, that any senator can really hold things up. And so when there is a piece of legislation that is objectionable, the body has to be really unified, especially the Republican caucus, to make sure that we are willing to waste a day or two or three of the very limited amount of time we have in order to get pieces of legislation they object to passed. And this is one of those important pieces of legislation, and it needs to be one of those that we are willing to that we're willing to use a day or two or three or whatever it takes, flex, use the supermajority we have, 27 members in a 35-member body, to get this passed, because it will be impactful to future elections if we don't pass it.
Well, and specifically, I know kind of what the bill was last session. It just heightened some of the penalties for what is called ballot harvesting. But let's talk about this, because I used to bring this up from time to time about, why is this something being done about this? I mean, you hear these stories, but it was the one election about 5, 6, 7 years ago, Perry in Wilcox County in a Democrat primary for probate judge, where like 2/3 of the ballots were absentee, and it just looked like it was ballot harvesting. So it still goes on in Alabama, but when you want to prosecute it, when you want to go and do something about it, the local district attorney, the local prosecutor there just shrugs it off. We're not taking that on. And then I guess the AG could take it up if he wanted to, but oftentimes doesn't. It's a matter of this, getting the prosecutors to enforce the law, right?
Well, it is that, and that is an important thing. It's also to make sure that there's a deterrent, right? That there's a significant penalty associated with doing this, so that you don't end up in a spot where people say, they're just going to slap my hand, or they're not really going to prosecute it, or they're not going to take it seriously. We need to make sure that the professional paid political operatives that are engaging in this type of, this type of activity know, A, it's going to be prosecuted, and B, there are going to be stiff penalties associated with it. And for too long, they functioned, without that fear. And that's how criminal law works. You got to make sure the penalty is stiff enough to act as a deterrent. And so hopefully once we pass this, the deterrent will be significant enough that that are thinking about messing with the integrity of our elections will know better.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our attorney champion here on the program. I know we probably talked about this a little bit, but new leader Steve Livingston. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Steve's a good friend. Has been for a long time. I think he's going to be a good majority leader. A lot of power concentrated in North Alabama still. I threw my name in that hat in no small part to try to see if we could break that up just a little bit, or have a little bit more leadership representation in the south part of the state. Obviously wasn't successful in that, mainly because we just don't have the numbers here and couldn't keep our South Alabama votes all together. But that's the nature of the beast. But Steve's always been a good partner. He will do a great job as leader. Again, he's a personal friend and one of those folks that is just a good guy all around. And he'll listen, just like we had Speaker Ledbetter from North Alabama here yesterday. He'll listen to the needs of South Alabama and coastal Alabama. They understand what an economic engine coastal Alabama is and how important it is to continue to invest here. And they get that. And that's a message we've been beating into their collective heads, and I think we're getting an awful lot of that recognition. We just need to keep it up.
Well, speaking of things that are getting a lot of recognition, what's the any new developments in the Aldott West Alabama corridor saga? Do we still what day? I don't know what day it is. Maybe we need a little countdown clock, number of days since we have asked for a final price tag on this project. Where are you?
There is no price tag. There is no projected cost. All I'm certain of is that the governor has executed contracts of close to $100 million for the design portion of this work. And this governor is rushing very quickly to try to get something done prior to the end of her administration, her term. I think missing some key points that could make this project much more feasible, like obtaining FHWA permitting for it that would allow us to use federal money. But they have no idea what this project is going to cost and won't likely for some time. And it will likely be a shocker when they do, because they're going to realize the cost, just based on what other construction costs are for other projects, they're going to realize the cost of this has doubled. And that is going to be a shocking realization when it happens.
Have they given you any kind of timeline here? I mean, obviously they're trying to fast track this and get it done before Governor Ivey leaves office. I mean, that's, but what do you, you know, there's one thing of what's realistic, but everything this administration's done is taking the more optimistic, rosier viewpoint and giving it to the public. But have they even offered that to you?
No, knowing that business and that industry fairly well, we built roads when I was on the county commission, and I stay very involved in transportation projects, but they've got at least a year of design work to do before they can move forward in earnest on that. And then at the same time, they've got a bunch of utility relocation to do as well. These are just power poles and telephone lines and things like that that have to get out of the way. So some of that can start immediately where they've identified right of way while the design is going on and go on concurrently, but that is a tedious process. And it relies on the utilities in large part to do that work. Well, you're in a very rural part of the state. The electric membership cooperatives in West Alabama are not as hardy as maybe the Baldwin EMC is, right? So the likelihood that they're going to have to farm that out, hire a subcontractor instead of using their own forces in order to do that work is pretty good. And all of that is going to eat up time. So you may see some small clearing and grubbing, some movement of some trees and things of that. But I doubt you'll see construction work, for at least a year or more before you ever see anything that is really actually building a road. And then the question is just, how long does it take, from there? But I think that the combination of utility relocation and design work is really going to eat up a year and a half, 2 years before they get started in earnest. And, of course, that sand is running out of the hourglass before the end of this governor's term. And it'll be interesting to see what they can put on the ground.
Yeah, and you think about it, maybe there's some things they could do with some of the existing roadway or whatever, but the big stretches of road, the bypass around Linden and the one around Greensboro, are heavy lifts.
Well, they are, and they're expensive. And again, the utility of this project, in my mind, is really only demonstrated if this is, in fact, a completed corridor. If this is little segments of road that aren't connected, you've got a four lane connected to a two lane and it goes back to a four lane. You really haven't achieved anything, from an efficacy standpoint. The corridor only makes sense if it's connecting to major metropolitan areas. It's like building a four lane interstate through Conecuh County. Well, that's great. We have 65 that runs through Conecuh County, but it's not because of the traffic in Conecuh County. It's because it's the traffic on I-65 that's going through Conecuh County. And the same thing is true with this corridor. If it's just pieced together or lacking significant pieces, then in my mind it will be a waste. And I hope to avoid that. We'll see how this all plays out in the long term.
Well, that's just the thing, right? Like this assumption that if you build it, they will come, and there's a lot of that. And we have enough tangible evidence to show that isn't always the case. You go all over the state, I-2059 from Tuscaloosa to the Mississippi state line, I-85 through Macon County, stretches of 65 between here and Montgomery. It's not as if these are bustling metropolises because they built an interstate through there.
You're exactly correct. And economic developers, professional economic developers, will tell you that while four-lane access either to a U.S. highway or an interstate is a piece of the puzzle, it is a small piece of the puzzle in landing a large economic development project. The biggest piece of the puzzle is people, workers, to actually work at the facility. And that is something that West Alabama is sorely lacking. And something that we continue to see, year over year is a population decline. So again, while I sympathize with that, there are all kinds of other issues that we have to fix in rural Alabama before, building a road will make any difference. And hopefully we can do that, for West Alabama. But these are issues of education, of health care. These are really big lifts that we're going to have to make sure happen, in order to get that problem fixed. A four lane highway is not going to do it. And anybody that tells you that it is simply being untruthful.
Well, and I thought the governor had a very honorable endeavor here from the beginning, coming out of Rebuild Alabama's passage, four-lane access to all, from all 67 counties to at least one interstate. Now, some counties it was going to be tough, like Wilcox or Lamar or Geneva, but it was at least an honorable goal. This road, it really doesn't even accomplish that in many ways. There's already four-lane access from Marengo County to I-20, and I guess if you count Moundville, there's already four-lane access to 2059 from Hale County. So this just seemed like at the last minute, oh, we got to do something big here. Let's do this one.
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody likes road projects, and it seems like, hey, this is we've wanted this for, what is Mayor Sheldon there for 70 years, going back that far. The problem is it's not the panacea that everybody thinks it is, and the bigger problem is that the opportunity cost, if we spend 100% state money on a project that's doubled in price and max out the state's credit card. If we do that, the opportunity cost for other much more needed, much more effective projects in the rest of the state that will keep Alabama's economy humming and keep the more Alabama citizens moving around effectively and safely is huge. We will lose out on those projects. It's not just what can we do in West Alabama, it's what we are not going to be able to do because we spent the money over there. And that's the part that really worries me. There are so many other projects around the state, large, small, segmented and not, that will suffer because there simply won't be any money left. And that is where I think the real problems will show their heads for decades to come.
Senator, you're always very gracious with your time. We'll do this again next week.
Thank you for having me. Happy Veterans Day.
Thanks for saying that. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheating songs.